We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us again today. I am your host, Dan Connick, and alongside me today is the usual Friday fun crew. It's Monty Moore. It's Camille Davis. Guys, how are you doing today? How have you recovered from the post-combine hangover?
Yes, the paralysis by analysis was definitely real, like it always is during the combine. But again, it's football in March, so we'll take what we can get.
Some kind of football.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's something. And at this point, like, I was having withdrawals like the week after the Packers were done. So I'll take this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that the nice little hit to get you one more week.
Exactly.
Because I think it's does the league season start next week?
The 13th?
Yeah. The 13th? Yep. March 13th. Right?
Yeah. So we've already gotten the franchise tag stuff started. The deadline for that is passed. So now we're seeing all the other fun things, everyone moving around to get under the cap before the league season. No Packers news on that front as of right now, but a former Packer did get a new sort of restructured deal. Rasul Douglas, who the Packers traded away there at the deadline to the Bills, he restructured his deal. I think it saves them $2.5 million on the cap this year. It's not known yet if he's just taking an actual pay cut or if that's been kicked into void years. I know. I think he's only got one actual year left on his original deal from the Packers. It's all void years after that. But
I mean, he went there and played really good. I mean, he had a lot of Packers fans, you know, angry that they traded him because of how well he played since he went over there. So it's like we were saying before we started recording, he's clearly one of their best players since they're getting rid of everybody else. So they're keeping Rasul Douglas.
Well, that was like the whole kind of, like a meme sort of going around Packers Twitter was that they traded away Rasul Douglas and they're going to re-sign him in the offseason when he's a cap casualty. And the Bills flipped the script on everybody. And instead of cutting Rasul Douglas, cut literally almost everybody else. That was surprising. That I mean, maybe I don't know as much about the secondary or the players, the contracts, age, all of that. But like Tre'Davious White, cornerback, cut. Jordan Poyer, safety, cut. I mean, those are two kind of names that I feel at least if the play isn't exactly the same, I feel like those names are a little bit more elevated in NFL circles than maybe a Rasul Douglas. So it's kind of surprising. Well,
didn't I think, you know, keeping it back towards the Packers again, like, didn't Micah Hyde get released already? Or they're expected to, I think.
Oh, don't.
Ooh, Micah Hyde.
Don't tempt me with a good time there, Monty.
I that'd be a great reunion, especially the kind of stuff we're going to talk about on the show for like today's main topic. But I'd be shocked if they signed a, what is he, 33 at this point? He is
33. Yep.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I said something about this on Twitter. Like, I don't remember a time where this many safeties were just available just to sign with anyone. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it seems like every day there's at least one, for the last 8 days, there's been one starting safety that's been released by a team. So this is, I mean, there's never a better time for the Packers to need a veteran at one specific spot. And it's been clear what it's been needed for the, you know, since the season ended. So things are trending to be shaping up well for the Packers, especially when you talk about if they do fill that hole in free agency, then they're not locked in the draft, right? They can, you know, Goody likes to move around. So
exactly that. Exactly. And you love to see that. Like the fact that it's a lot of good safeties on the market, like there's actually a robust running back market too. We know the value of running backs and everything like that, completely understood. But from my understanding of this upcoming draft, it's not super strong at running back. So if you did want to find like a bridge guy to get you a year, maybe two, like this is a good market to do it. And I'll be really interested to see what the value is of a lot of these guys in the running back market, especially after last offseason and all of the hoopla that we had around running backs feeling like they were underpaid for what they do. So it's going to like the people who we have on the free agency market this summer, running backs, safeties, even linebackers, there's some really interesting options at linebacker as well, which all things the Packers can tap into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead, Monty.
No, I was just going to say, and, you know, we did have the running back scare last week from that Tom Silverstein article that dropped on a Friday where, like, everybody kind of overreacted. But, the other tidbit in there was, they're not expected to sign A.J. Dillon back. I mean, that definitely feels like a move, though, right, where – they're fine to let him go see what the market is because the market's not good for running backs. Like to the point where last year, didn't they have like a Zoom meeting or something like that before this season?
Yeah.
So market's not great. He wasn't great last year. So feels like if a team wants to pay you XYZ, like by all means take it. But I mean, once he figures out that market's not great, we know he loves Green Bay, is, you know, mayor of Door County and all that. So it's definitely going to be interesting because, yeah, I mean, the running backs that are out there, like Josh Jacobs is out there, Derrick Henry, Pollard, Barkley. Like, those are huge, really good names. Like, and they obviously, you know, the first thing you think of when a team makes a player available or cuts them, like, why did this team cut this really good player? So there are reasons, but for what they need, like, they just need a solid second running back. That's, I mean, any of those will do.
Yeah. And you bring up that it's interesting to see all these big safeties getting cut. I would love to see if there's like a correlation to 2 years ago where, like, back in 2020, Jamal Adams gets traded to the Seahawks. That was didn't the Seahawks give up like two first round picks or something like that?
and he got cut this week.
And he got cut. And so I'm wondering if there was like a rash of these like big safeties that people took, like basically said, we'll give you 2-3 years and we'll keep this big contract on our books. Hope that we can squeeze something out of you. And, you know, that last year or so they decided to cut bait because, you know, to do like the reset, like what the Bills seem to be doing. I mean, we kind of expected that out of the Aaron Jones contract going into this year, like that we thought it was a, you know, backload the contract. And like this year was probably the year that he gets cut and they move on from him and just eat that money. So, yeah, I'd be interested to see what that looks like. But it does help the Packers that it just times up that they need to fill that safety, and they got money to spend on it. So,
I mean, at this point, we're waiting for that $20 million contract to fall off.
Yeah.
like that announcement, and that Bakhtiari announcement is who we're talking about. It's got to be soon because he's owed like a roster bonus.
Mm-hmm. But when a league starts, yep.
Yeah. Like it's like $5 million. I mean, they're not going to pay him $5 million or they try to figure other things out if they're going to keep him or not. So like, yeah, that's going to be dropping. Do you guys think it's going to happen? Like they like to drop their news on a Friday at 6 p.m. or 5 o'clock. Like they're notorious for that.
Yep. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I would just be surprised. Like, has there been usually with something like that? If we're looking at Bakhtiari, you would think that we're getting, if they're looking at the start of the new year as like a pseudo deadline to say, we want to get him off the books before then, so we don't have to pay out this roster bonus.
Right.
You would think that you would hear some kind of rumblings leaked out by the team saying like, oh, the Packers are, you know, willing to move David Bakhtiari for the right price. And, you know, I haven't seen that, but yeah, like you would think that they would want to move on from it.
Maybe they're still having conversations. Like maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely a possibility. I mean, it definitely seemed like as the year went on, like Bakhtiari was softening his stance, you know, kind of about being like rebellious. I mean, not a big surprise. The Packers got better as the year went on. Now they look like a real contender. So I'm sure, yeah, that does play into it. Absolutely.
That has to have a big part in it, given the fact that in the offseason, he was one of the only people you saw on the Green Bay Packers saying like, no, this is a rebuild. I don't care what you say. We're rebuilding this year.
Right.
So
yeah. So
like, he was adamant, which I mean, I never faulted him for feeling that way about it, given the fact that Aaron Rodgers left. But like you said, as the season went on, he saw the play. He had to be like, hey, there's something here and I wouldn't mind continuing to play here. Plus, we got grass fields. You know, we know.
There we go. Yeah, exactly.
Do you think that there is maybe some gun shyness on the Jets side of things? Like, because you would imagine if there's a trade partner out there, that would literally be them, right?
Just, yeah, and, I mean, no team, you don't know how healthy he is. He can't pass a physical. So actually, could he even be traded? That's the thing. If he's not going to pass a physical, I don't think he could even be traded. So just like we've been saying, like, so that release feels so imminent. Like, I'm just surprised they're just not doing it already. Like,
and honestly, too, with the injury, it probably also depressed the trade market for him. So the Packers are probably going to get the right value back for him anyways.
Yeah. But
that 21 mil coming off could be helpful.
And that's sort of like my other thing with that is like the Jets are naturally probably the only team that would want to take on a deal like that for a player like that. And I have a feeling they feel hurt because everybody said they got absolutely fleeced in the Aaron Rodgers deal. And they don't want to look like idiots again by picking it, you know, I'm wondering if that plays.
Well, and then it wasn't
any part of it, you know,
and then it wasn't just Aaron Rodgers. Then it was signing Dalvin Cook. And then it was Randall Dalvin Cobb Cook and like
Alan Lazard, matches. Yeah.
Yeah. It just wasn't good all around after that. But I mean, to kind of like put a bow on this one, it just seems like if there is any hope that he comes back, obviously if he's back, it's going to have to be restructured. Like he's not playing on a $40 million, whatever his cap hit is 30 something. So yeah, release him. If he finds out nobody is willing to take him on for what he wants, like is a low salary to come back to where the only place you've ever played and they're intimately familiar with your injury history, that probably makes more sense. But he'll have to go out there first and get that kind of, well, I'm not going to say rejection, but like just reality.
I think if he gets released, he's going straight to the Jets. I think the Jets want him. They just don't want to look like they had to give up.
And yeah.
they didn't want to have to look like they came to Brian Gutekunst and was like,
that's his,
please, sir, can I have some more?
That's his least favorite turf.
Yeah.
Like, by far.
That's true.
Like, he hates it.
But it's his guy. It's his best friend.
Right.
It's
How much are you willing to give up for your friend?
That's the question.
Speaking of questions, I posed to you guys a sort of a fun question to think about here in terms of the Green Bay Packers. So Jason Kelce, famous longtime Eagle, arguably one of, you could argue one of the best centers in NFL history.
At, oh, absolutely. At
this point, retired this week officially. Everyone knew it was coming. Officially made it official that he is not going to come back. And so my thought around that was, who is the Green Bay Packers Jason Kelce? And by Jason Kelce, I'm defining as player who stood out on the field. Like, I'm not talking about, you know, and also ran, like, you know, because I was thinking about, like, Jamal Williams, fun guy. Everyone loved Jamal. He didn't really do squat on the field. He hasn't really done squat on the field except last year, 2 years ago in Detroit. But has to stay out on the field.
We're talking like top 10 at your position, top five
like,
status.
Consensus. You know, has to be a standout, like at their time, one of the best. And then also just universally loved.
Yeah.
By the fan base, you could argue it can go further than that into the league. I'm curious where we all go with this. Because we can look in history, current Packers. So
we have not compared notes.
No, we have not compared notes.
Yeah.
We've insinuated that we all think we're gonna go in similar directions. But I'm very curious to see where we go. Camille, you reached out to me first on Twitter asking questions about it. So I want to give you the floor first. Who would you like to nominate first?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So I feel like if we're doing this, talking about someone who's beloved off the field, also was dominant on the field, I feel like we have to start with Bart Starr. Like, I wasn't even around for Bart Starr, but like just everything he's done, like I appreciated Bart Starr and I never watched him play football. Like it was a generational thing. Him and his wife and Cherry, like the two of them, just Packer royalty. And I felt like I had to start with Bart Starr because he is the only legendary quarterback in the franchise history that's not problematic in any way.
And that's what we're saying, right? Universally loved.
Yes.
Like for everything, not just what he did on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a number one, right? I mean, that's when you talk about the reason the Packers are the Packers, that's one name that is probably the first or second name that you're going to list off. So Bart Starr was a consensus. I've also got another, like, we'll get the easy ones out of the way. Like Donald Driver, right?
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Nobody dislikes Donald Driver. He wasn't like ever one of the best receivers in the league or anything, but he is the all-time leader in receptions for the Packers. So he is that level of Packer royalty. You know, he always has the softball game while he was on the team, and yeah, still very active, like with fans, like both like on Twitter and doing like the fan tours and all that. So he's right there at that same status.
Yeah, agreed. I had to have him on there. I was also, we've kind of covered two different eras now. I think the one person I can think of from the Brett Favre era has to be Reggie White.
Right? Yeah, I mean, he's like, people say first or second best defensive player of all time.
Yeah.
And reason the Packers got the Super Bowl in, you know, in the 90s. So
the only thing that held me back from it was definitely, like, I don't even think he played the majority of his career in Green Bay. Mm-mm. I think he was an Eagle for the majority of his career.
Yep.
And then number two, I also kind of wonder, and I very trepidatiously because
keep it real.
Well, so Reggie White, I think it's kind of a unspoken secret around the town that's like Reggie was kind of had some stuff with his religious beliefs that kind of
he was very religious, like, you know,
very kind of anti-LGBTQ a little, and so I wonder if, you know, if he had stayed around with us longer, if he would have had that sort of turn where people start to turn on him a little bit more looking back on him, and if maybe his legacy is preserved so well because he died so young, unfortunately.
I do think that's part of it. And again, like, this whole thing opens up just another interesting discussion of like separating on the field versus off.
Yeah. Yeah.
It, like, in a lot of cases you can, and it's understandable, but when you're talking about people that are universally beloved, like, I'm sure he wasn't universally beloved by people that live a lifestyle he was directly against. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's one that's probably the, you know, other than obviously like the more current Aaron Rodgers situation, like, those probably are the two biggest gaps when you talk about how good they were playing versus not, it wasn't always completely unproblematic when they weren't.
Yeah.
Like, those are probably going to be, because even to a greater extent than Brett Favre, because Rodgers was better than Favre was as a QB. So like that, even that dearth, like, makes a difference.
Yeah, and the Reggie White one is so interesting because of my age, like, when I was watching Reggie White, I was a kid. So, like, I really only saw Reggie for the on-the-field guy and thought of him as just someone who loved Jesus. So I never knew the depths of everything that he was saying against certain communities until I rewatched the Minister of Defense, ESPN 30 for 30, which really broke it down. And I was like, wow, like, I could see how some people were offended by what he was saying. But as you saw at the end of that documentary, how his views were changing. And I wonder, too, is if he would have lived, what would that have looked like? Because I know, Dan, you mentioned maybe more people would have turned on him, but maybe he also would have been more of an ally to some of the communities that he previously spoke ill against, because he mentioned, like, a lot of the religion that he knew was from what people told him, and he didn't start exploring it on his own until after he was done playing football. So it's an interesting one with Reggie White. Like, on the field, he's universally loved, but like we mentioned, off the field, there were some question marks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, the only reason I say, like, top three defensive player is because, like, forever he was either one or two, but like Aaron Donald has since been Aaron Donald. So wherever you want to slot him in between, you know, Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, or Aaron Donald, like, so he was that good for that long, where he's only recently been not almost universally accepted as like one of the top two defensive players ever.
Yeah. Let's look at current roster.
I got one.
Yeah, we all have an easy one for this, right?
Now, I'll be curious if you guys agree with this one. And I'm we talked about him earlier, David Bakhtiari. And I say this because of just his personality off the field. Like, he was just so, like, seeing him at Bucks games, like, I'm in Milwaukee And it's been times where we're at bus camps and David Batiari is there. Like, he came to quite a few games and he's on the main camera doing the beer chugs. He's hyping the crowd up. Like, everyone is into him. And again, one of the best tackles the Packers have seen. Like, he's fantastic on the field. Now, the most recent year with the injuries and things, like, the relationship has changed a bit with the fans, but just not thinking, well, I guess I can't just exclude injuries, but I feel like because if he was healthy, people wouldn't have a problem with him.
I was going to say, I will agree. I think he applies because the people that are mad at him, and a lot of these people that are mad are illogical because, you know, mad at a guy for being hurt is dumb. And they think, you know, he's faking it or like all that was stupid. But like you said, had he never been injured, he would be that universe because he was so good and so dominant until he was hurt. I mean, he had never missed a game until he had a freak knee injury. And that's been obviously horrible since. But yeah, I mean, he was one of the best. He was arguably one or two in his entire time when he was healthy, whether you want to flip him with Trent Williams, like they're one in 1A, in my opinion. But yeah, so had he never gotten that injury and had, you know, bad luck after with, you know, the follow-up surgeries and the cleanup surgeries, I think he would be that Jason Kelce type character.
And just really quick, when we saw him this year in Chicago, he's flipping off Chicago fans. Like, how can you not? Yeah. Love it.
Mine, the one that I had also on the O-line was Brian Bulaga.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Because he was arguably the best right tackle in the league for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he became a meme in itself with his Sunday Night Football intro. So I don't think I've ever heard a Packers fan say a bad word about Brian Bulaga.
Yeah. And also shout out Brian Bulaga, big Manchester City fan.
Oh, there we go.
Appreciate you, Bulaga. Yeah, the Bakhtiari one though, for me, that's it feels like ever since that injury, there's been, and it's not even so much that it's people mad at him or souring on him because of him being injured. That's stupid. If you believe, if that's how you feel, I feel very comfortable calling you an idiot. you can come into my mentions about that. No problem. It does feel like there's a lot of times where you kind of wish it kind of becomes the Jair Alexander thing where, like, okay, if you're not out here playing, I don't need to keep hearing from you about what's going on with the team and what's going wrong and what we need to do. Or you start talking about weird things off the field. It's like, I'm not saying you need to sit down and be quiet if you're injured, but like, I don't need to keep hearing from you. It's like there needs to be sort of a reel it back in moment for David. And I think if he sticks around and has a healthy, productive season this year, then I think the perception of him instantly changes across the board.
Yeah.
I think we start to get into that Jason Kelce territory.
I also just think, like, I don't think you can discount the effect, you know, like, I don't know if I could blame him for being, you know, a little jaded or a little grumpy. Like,
no, yeah, sure.
Horrible luck with his injury, like, happened in practice, like, you know, they're in the NFC championship game, he's getting ready to play in his first Super Bowl if they win that game, and horrible injury, awful recovery, and they haven't been able to get back since. And he's really the last one of the old, you know, Aaron Rodgers regime of good players, like, consensus, like, one of the best players on the team. So, you know, then his best friend leaves and now he can't get back on. He comes out week one, is really, really good, like, dominant, and then has a flare up and then he doesn't play the rest of the season. So, like, mentally, it's got to be really hard. And this is when you remember why, like, things like a sports psychologist exists. Because, I would not be surprised if, like, you know, sports psychologists deal with stuff like this, like players that just can't come back from an injury, that used players that were dominant at one point and now they can't get healthy enough to get back on the field.
Yeah. So the only other two that I could think of, current Packers, and these are reaches for sure.
Oh, we got to do the other obvious one.
Who's your
other obvious? What's your
Aaron Jones?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Aaron Jones.
That was a reach, really?
Well, I say reach because if we're talking about in terms of comparing to the league, I know he is still one of the top backs, but like, do you put Aaron Jones in the same category as like a CMC or a Derrick Henry? You know, as guys that people point to as like dominant running back, a running back.
Okay, so honestly, I do, but the reason that it's not as, you know, if like fans of other teams might not see it as much as like. I mean, it's become a meme at this point, but they haven't used him enough in the past, right? So he's underused, but I mean.
Well, and too, it's like in Green Bay, it's always been about the quarterback. It's been Aaron Rodgers. And then this year you go from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love, and it's about, is Jordan Love the guy? So the story is always the quarterback.
I put him on that level only because it is not even comparable to what the offense is like when he's there and when he's not. And that was even when Aaron Rodgers was still here. Mm-hmm. So like for him to be that big of a difference maker, and we've seen it now at this point over the last like five seasons, how much of a difference it makes when he's actually out there. I think yes, because you clearly just can't plug in a different running back and run the same stuff that you run with Aaron Jones and they don't skip a beat.
Yeah, like he's kind of, this might be a stretch, but it's kind of like a running back version of like a Jordy Nelson, where it's like, hey, like, we know you're cold. We see your name in like top five Packers history in various categories. We know it. But when you were playing, most people didn't necessarily point to you first and say like, hey, best receiver in the league, or hey, best running back in the league. But everybody knew you were dangerous on the field. Like, you could not be left open. You were going to make a big play. And then off the field, as we've mentioned, like Jordy Nelson is also, I guess, that's another one.
Oh,
Throw to, who he was very quiet off. I mean, that's the farm boy. He just wanted to play football, go home, work on the farm, come back. And that's
the most controversial thing he ever did was when he got hurt.
Yeah. a trend here.
Yeah, that's the only bad thing that ever happened while he was here.
Yeah. The only other one I could put right now, and I don't even, this one is definitely a stretch. Kenny Clark. Ooh. Dominant. He's been one of the most dominant, consistent. I'll say maybe not dominant, but consistent defensive linemen. Oh, I mean, really ever since he kind of came into the league almost. But that's the thing, is like, he doesn't dominate the way that a Chris Jones or an Aaron Donald does.
I was going to say, you know? I think not to disparage Kenny at all. He's been one of my favorite players on the Packers for a long time. He's like very, like the word like elite, I tend to think means like five guys, right? Mm-hmm. And the league has like just some insane dudes at defensive tackle. Like you said, you got Chris Jones, Aaron Donald, your Fletcher Cox, mm-hmm. your Vita Vea, Brandon Calais Graham, So for him to be just a tier below those guys, I don't think is an insult. And part of it, I think he also hasn't had help enough in his career where he could have been at that level. But, you know, he's taken on double teams every single play. I think that's borderline. Because like he'll be like a Packers Hall of Famer, right? Like,
sure,
no question, Kenny Clark. But yeah, I think that's the one that is borderline, and that's only because of his peers more so than his performance.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Yeah.
Let me throw a throwback name at you guys. What do you guys think about Mark Tosher? Tauscher.
Oh, that's actually
a pretty good one.
A Badger to a Packer.
Yeah.
And then now is a media guy that gets to stick around. Yeah, that's a pretty good one. That's a sneaky good one.
Yeah, I mean, seventh round, so like that Donald Driver type story, right?
Underdog.
Underdog story. I think because Tauscher was really, really good. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he was no slouch, like, by any means. So I think that actually does fit. It is really funny too that like so many of these tend to be linemen.
Right. It's Wisconsin. I feel like we look at the Badgers and what they're always very good at is you're gonna get some good linemen. Like Wisconsin and linemen, like it's just a match made in heaven.
I think is it the perception of how we view different positions, because wide receiver / running back, you kind of get the automatic diva perception that you have to almost like actively fight against sometimes. Offensive linemen are just, how many offensive linemen do you know out there that are, you know, David Bakhtiari is maybe like the top candidate of being like the outspoken or, you know, gregarious offensive lineman. You know, at this point, I think maybe that's part of it, is like we just kind of gravitate toward them because they feel a little bit more, the position just generally feels a little more down to earth. I don't know.
I have an obvious one that I thought that you guys would have, but doesn't appear anybody else had it listed.
Who?
All right.
Nick Collins.
Oh, Nick.
Yeah.
Because he was at you know, when he got hurt, he was one of the best safeties in the league. He had just come off a Super Bowl. Like, he was on that Hall of Fame track. And yeah, I don't know a Packers fan that has ever said one bad thing about Nick Collins.
My thing with Nick Collins is he's every Packer fan's like, if coach had put me in, we would have won state kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like,
he's the biggest what if.
Every Packer fan, like you bring up Nick Collins, it's, oh man, like, can you imagine if
we would have won two more Super Bowls?
Yeah, easy.
Like it's him and Earl Sharp. Those are the two where it's like, if they didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, Packers, the Packers do not have a good history with neck injuries.
Oh no.
JerMichael Finley.
Another one.
Now that's one, because he was fun. And
I do feel like there were some fans, though.
He would have gone, yeah.
I think there were, even when he was here, I think there were some fans that didn't like. Yeah, he had some haters. I loved him. And he was the last tight end we've had like that until this past year with the two rookies. But yeah, I mean, I think I do remember even back then some people not liking how, you know, boisterous he was, which, again, I'm not going to be that surprised when I hear that from fans, like from Packers fans, right? I mean, it's kind of like we're used to that at this point, but that would be my only maybe not because of that.
Yeah. So two more potentials. I'm looking at potentials, not even close.
Okay. Yet. So you're looking towards the future.
But looking toward the future. Tucker Kraft. Because he straight out of the gate.
Out
of the gate. Everyone was like, this guy.
Yeah,
everyone loves a good old country white tight end that can play pretty well and also just he's got
personality,
a personality that everyone loves. If he and Lucas Musgrave become the Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez of the Packers, you know, like
football only,
right? Football only.
Be very clear with that.
Yes.
If they can rise to that level, I think both of them have a chance to kind of reach that level. And then an obvious one, I think, is just Jordan Love.
Yeah.
If he can continue growing as a player, and all you really have to do, the bar is set so low as a Packer quarterback to win the fan base. Don't don't steal money from poor people, and don't be a crazy weirdo like that.
Yeah,
that's all you have. Just be normal, and Packer fans will love you till the day you die.
And Jordan got a little swag too. Like he'd be out, he'd be you know, in the parties, he'd be doing interviews, like a little swag to him too. Which he got that dog on the field too, where he's talking to people, he's in faces, like all that energy. Love it.
Yeah, I'm really excited
through the roof on both sides, personality and playing.
Yeah, I'm really excited to now that he's, you know, been through a year in the league and obviously performed well, and like other, you know, teams are aware of, you know, his talent level and how good he is. Like, yeah, you see him like maybe display a little bit more personality, like whether it be like out on the field or like now in like press conferences. So it definitely seems like he wanted to, I mean, the entire time he's been here, he hasn't said the wrong thing once. He's
right.
Like all the times he was not starting, he never said the wrong thing. He's just quiet, biding his time. But now that he's here and it's his team and he's about to, you know, break the bank, we think in the next couple months here, I think you'll see a little bit more of that come out.
Yeah. Can I, before we wrap up, just please, two honorable mentions. I don't think absolutely. They quite fit, but they were just so like, well, one might not be as loved as the other, but I want to give fullback love. One for me is William Henderson.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Just bring your lunch pail, do your job and get out of here, dude. And then the other one is John Kuhn. Just,
I thought about John Kuhn.
Like the personalities, again, we talked about old linemen being, you know, guys who people gravitate to. I feel like fullbacks, which are now kind of extinct in this NFL, but those two in particular, like I was a big William Henderson fan when I was younger. Like, I don't know why. Well, part of it was because my maiden name was Henderson. So I was like, that's so cool.
Okay. Yeah.
I can get my own jersey. That's so cool. But like, I just loved watching them play. The mentality.
I mean, obviously, and I'm glad I caught myself on this, that I didn't forget Leroy Butler.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, got in the Hall of Fame, was way overdue, was easily one of the best safeties while he played. And again, I've never heard a Packers fan say anything bad about Leroy Butler at all.
Guys, we are missing one that just is ready to kick us right in the face.
Vince Lombardi.
It's Mason Crosby.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Especially now.
You know what the problem is?
Yeah.
The Packers have too many of these players. They're too good all the time.
Next week's topic. Are the Packers too good? Have we been too good?
Yeah, no. So, yeah, definitely Mason Crosby. Like, that is...
Yeah. Camille, the John Kuhn one is a good one because like I thought about that. I'm like, obviously universally loved. He's everyone shouting Kuhn. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's part of the Super Bowl tape from here on out.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, is he dominant enough to like count? But it's like, I guess if you're talking about
dominating
your position, the fullback bar is so low that it's like, like look at Kyle Juszczyk. Like that.
Yeah.
Especially
in the 2024 NFL. What are there? Are there even 15 fullbacks in the NFL?
That's why I think it's bullcrap that Kyle Juszczyk gets a Pro Bowl nomination every year. It's like, who's he competing against?
He gets it by default.
Okay. So I will give John Kuhn. I think that's a good one.
And let's shout out Clay Matthews.
Oh, yes.
How do we forget Clay?
I'm telling you, this is what we get for not like writing a bunch down or comparing notes. Like,
see, the Clay one for me, though, because I thought about that. I'm like, did his last couple years with like Nick Perry and all of that, like, did that sour too many people on his legacy on the field? Did he stick around too much? How dominant was he? Did he not do it for long enough?
You know, I think he was so good though before like that happened.
Clay Matthews
is so
and again, he's got one of the most memorable plays in Packer Super Bowl history, right?
Make a play.
So I absolutely think he qualifies because I mean he was getting like, you know, he finished like second in defensive player of the year one year. Like he was really, really good. And again, he'll waltz into the Packers Hall of Fame eventually.
Yeah. Okay. To wrap this up. I want yes or no answer. I'm going to mention a name.
Okay.
Tell me yes or no, and then we'll wrap up.
Okay.
I've only got one.
Okay.
But I want it here because I think it's just an obvious discussion afterwards. So Charles Woodson.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I know it was a short run, but it was so memorable and so impactful.
Camille, that, like, I said one word. I said one word.
Oh.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. Because like that's the question, right? Is like, was he here long enough to count?
He, in my opinion, have this, like, I don't think he is the first ballot Hall of Famer without his time in Green Bay, because this is where he won his Super Bowl. This is where he won his Defensive Player of the Year. So those two things go a long way into your Hall of Fame candidacy, obviously, especially you being a first ballot. So yeah, I think he absolutely qualifies.
Yeah. And I mean, you could argue too, it's where he kind of turned the corner on the, like, universally loved side of things, because like, not obviously people loved him. People loved him in Oakland / Las Vegas. They still do. But like, he kind of had a bit of a reputation as, you know, as a bit of a diva, as a bad locker room guy. And he really turned that perception of him turned around immensely.
Well, that's why the Packers were able to get him.
Yeah.
No other teams really did at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, we made a great discussion.
Yeah, we did.
That was a great topic. Cool.
So thank you, Jason Kelsey.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jason Kelsey. Enjoy the
podcast. You're welcome on anytime.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Jeez. You, Kylie, Travis, like Taylor, anybody, the whole Kelsey family can come.
There we go. Exactly.
Let us know too. I want to hear from listeners. Do you agree with what any of the we said? Do you disagree?
I guarantee anybody. Yeah, I guarantee when we're done, we're each going to think of like five more when we end this recording. So yeah, let us know. DJ Rocky.
It's good.
Yeah.
See, it just at a certain point, it just becomes that meme of like guys will sit around and just name
old players.
You guys remember BJ Raji? Oh man. So make sure that you're following the show at Packaday Podcast out on the socials. Follow the YouTube side as well. Andy putting out his daily stuff and Ross Uglum doing his, I think it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday draft stuff as well. So make sure you're checking out literally a bevy of content on the Packaday Podcast Network. You can follow me. I'm on Twitter at DK all the way. Guys, where can people find you out in the socials?
You can find me on Twitter. Also, I am at Ferd Turgeson, FERD_TURGESON.
Camille. And I am Camille Monet on Twitter at Camille Monet, CamilleMonae.
Awesome. Appreciate everyone listening. We'll be back again next Friday. And until then, as always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.